which is number 1. We will begin the challenges of the screen. It's like there are technical issues. We'll then use our copies. Let me take this opportunity to welcome all of you here, honorable members of the committee, represent the Bureau of State, law advice, but yes, welcome our staff, and in particular, welcome the department. And I believe that the department did not send those that we know much. Do we need to introduce each other? So that we know and able to engage with who. And for the sake of engagement, we would also introduce ourselves to delegates from the department. My name is Matoni Hamfremukhori, chairperson of the Select Committee. And with me I have other honorables that they will introduce themselves to you, and then you also introduce yourself.
Yes, good morning, Chair, and good morning, everybody. My name is Wati Watson. I'm from Mpumalanga.
Good morning, Chair. My name is Jack Becker from the Western Cape.
Comrade Chair, good morning. My name is Bon Silenesi from the Eastern Cape.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Lewin Zimande from Pietermaritzburg, Msunduzi, KZN. Thanks.
My name is Chetam Futi from the Free State.
Tunda Matila from Gauteng.
SPD Skosana from Mpumalanga.
Fani Lou from the department.
I am Vilikas Mainita from the department.
Good morning, I'm Veronica Mafoko from the department.
Good morning, Chair, everybody. I'm Corin Walter from the Office of the Chief Special Advisor.
Morning, Honorable Chair. My name is Ismail Sain from the Parliamentary Monitoring Group.
Morning, Chair. I'm Silo Mukhara from SAUGA.
Morning, Chairperson, Honorable Members. I'm David Mugwena, Support Staff for the Committee.
Good morning. I'm Kosana Mfuku. I'm the Support Staff for the Committee.
Good morning. My name is Moss Panel, part of the support staff. Thank you.
Thank you very much. In the light of the spirit of Friday, I think we would have item 3, I'm not sure, where the committee will engage just with an understanding in terms of closure of the day. We're talking about outstanding issue commission and just after that, remain for a few minutes. Thank you. Let me welcome you once more. And the meeting is declared open. And I want to welcome everyone to this session. Municipal Property Rights Amendment Bill, which the department will take us through, and honorable members will then engage, and from there we'll have a way forward in terms of the bill. Let me honorably request the department to lead us in terms of the bill. I don't know who is taking cut through, you will. Thank you very much.
Chairperson and the honorable members, we will take you through the bill, but I would like to just apologize if nothing formally has come through from the department. I am aware that there is also a parallel session with the Portfolio Committee on Cooperative Governance and Traditional Affairs, which is taking place regarding the annual report of the department at the same time on the other side. And I'm not so sure whether our acting DG is there or he will join us at a later stage, so I'm not so sure. But also the Deputy Minister, I saw him over that side. But we didn't get into those things because when we got the notification ourselves, it was late around 2 o'clock yesterday. So to find out exactly what has been the communication and all. So I just wanted to make that upfront in case the committee is surprised as to where are some of the top management of the department. But in terms of the engagement, this is a team, the three of us, myself as an executive manager responsible for intergovernmental fiscal relations, and the colleague Ms. Veronica Mafuku, who is a senior manager for municipal finance policy, and Stephanie Lowe, who is the executive manager for legal services and compliance in the department on the contact matters in terms of engagement on the substance of the bill. And this is a team which has also dealt with the portfolio committee on COPTA as well. So that is what we will do. But at the outset, probably what I will need to say before the colleagues quickly take us through the presentation is just to outline that the presentation is narrow focused, and we are aware as a department and even the engagement with the portfolio committee, to some extent, some of those things arose, and the minister has said it even he himself, that sometimes next year the department will be coming back to Parliament, both the National Assembly and the NCOP, to talk about some of the work which we are doing in terms of the review of the Act, which there will be certain proposed amendments and some of the broader engagements on the broader things on the Act itself, it will locate themselves in that particular arena. So what we are doing is just more on a specific thing, but we are aware that there are broader things. For example, there are issues which some stakeholders are raising, and even some of the honorable members around, for example, the communal areas and all those things. But all those kinds of policy parameters, there will be an engagement as part of those processes when we review the Act, taking into account practice and lessons learned. So I just wanted to say that at the outset, so that when we appear to be narrow focused on the bill, it's because of these other things as well. But on that note, I will allow my colleague to quickly take us through the presentation on the bill.
Thank you, Chairperson. Thank you, honorable members. Good morning. By way of the presentation which you have with you, apologies for not having a PowerPoint. We had technical problems, as the Chairperson said. In terms of the presentation, I'm going to take you through the background. I'm going to then go into what is contained in the bill. There's a slide on the process that the bill has gone through up until now, the process it went through to get to this point. I'm going to take you through the consultations that we went through in terms of this bill. And I'll give you a snapshot of the public comments that we received, and then I will conclude with a way forward. By way of background, on slide 3, the bill was approved on the 12th of August this year by Cabinet. It seeks to amend the Municipal Property Rates Act so as to extend the period of validity of valuation rules that existed before the commencement of the Act by a further 2 years. Why are we doing this? Why are we extending this period of validity of old order valuation rules? Simply because there are 13 municipalities in terms of the numbers that we have, and these numbers are numbers that we have collected together with provincial departments responsible for local government in our monitoring. When we undertake our monitoring, we have found that there are 13 municipalities, local municipalities across the country, that have failed to implement the Act as at the 1st of July 2009. These are those municipalities in the country that have the power to levy rates. Local municipalities. Of these 13, which is quite a significant point, 12 of them had levied rates before in terms of old order legislation. This means that out of these 13, 12 will have financial implications if they are not able to implement the property rates as appropriately. By that, we mean that they used to collect rates based on old ordinances, and should they not be able to implement the valuation role if it is set aside because they didn't implement it appropriately in terms of the Act by 1st July 2009, they will not be able to collect rates based on that on the Act and on that valuation role. The next slide just speaks to the exact content. Basically, what the bill is doing, it's amending Section 89 of the Municipal Property Rates Act to extend that period of validity of valuation rolls that were enforced before the commencement of the Act by two additional years until the 30th of June 2011. By way of the process, just a bit of background around how the bill got here. The Cabinet approved it on the 12th of August, as I said. The bill was introduced to Parliament on the 10th of September of this year. We gave the first briefing to the Portfolio Committee on Cooperative Governance and Traditional Affairs on the bill on the 15th of September. It was unanimously approved by the Portfolio Committee without any amendments on the 6th of October 2009, and it was adopted by the National Assembly on the 16th of October. By way of consultation, the bill did go through consultations. The following parties were consulted: the National Treasury, the Department of Rural Development and Land Reform, provincial departments responsible for local government, the South African Local Government Association, SALGA. The bill was also published for public comment. By way of public comments that were received, we didn't receive a lot of comments. We received quite a few comments. They list the parties from whom we received comments are listed here: City of Cape Town, Metropolitan Municipality, Machabeng Local Municipality, Magana Local Municipality, Gauteng Department of Local Government and Housing, the Institute of Municipal Finance Officers, the Transvaal Agricultural Union, and an individual called Mr. H. Du Toit. Just by way of looking at what the comments said, essentially the bill was supported by Machabeng, Magana Municipalities, Gauteng Department of Local Government and Housing, and INFO, the Institute of Municipal Finance Officers. Although the City of Cape Town noted the bill and they did not offer any comments to it. Further, these are the persons that did not support the bill. They had reasons for not doing so. The Transvaal Agricultural Union is one of those. The position of that agricultural union was that amending the Act does not address fundamental causes of the inability of municipalities to comply with provisions of the Act, and that municipalities had ample time within which to comply with all the provisions of this Act. The Department's position in terms of that is that although in our view is that the points raised by the Transvaal Agricultural Union may be valid, we all know that there may be validity to the reasons, the comments could not be supported because in the department's and the ministry's view, a failure to rescue these municipalities may result in municipalities that had rated before losing significant revenue to fund service delivery commitments that they have. And at the end of the day, this would be to the detriment of the communities that live within those municipalities. Mr. Du Toit also did not support the bill for the following reasons. His view was that the implication of amending the Act as we have proposed is that the negligence on the part of municipalities is sanctioned by the executive, and it's sanctioned to continue for the next 2 years, the 2 years that we're extending the bill, the period by. He did have an alternative as a proposal. He proposed that in case of late publication of evaluation role,
a municipality should rebate ratepayers by charging them 50% of the rate on the basis of the previous valuation roll until the valuation roll in terms of the Act is published. That was his view. Our position in terms of that is that we could not support such a position, particularly because the proposal to implement a 50% rebate on municipalities could not, it would not pass, because the issue of rebates in terms of the Act, rebates are a municipal function. A municipality in terms of the Act is given the power to determine rebates in terms of its rate policy, and we cannot as national government impose a rebate structure on a municipality. I mean, we would be taken to court by any municipality. However, our feeling is that what we're doing in terms of extending the period of validity is actually sanctioning all order valuation rolls in any event. Those were the comments that we received on the bill, to give members a snapshot of the comments. We took them into account. We looked at some of them. We could not agree with some of them because we feel that the nature of this bill is to ensure that municipalities are able to collect revenue to deliver services. In conclusion, our view is that having published this bill for public comment and the fact and having had the bill adopted by the National Assembly a couple of weeks ago, we are now presenting this bill before this particular committee so that this committee can have a look at it and make a determination of it. And it is, in our view, presented in the interest of securing financial viability of the affected municipalities. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you very much for presentation. I would then allow the members to engage with the presentation. Watson, Honorable Watson.
Yes, yeah, I understand, and my party understands the problem the old valuation rolls are not being in existence anymore. When the requirements of the current bill comes into operation, but at the same time, what we're doing here in this bill is we are actually sanctioning bad management, bad government in those municipalities, and I don't know which ones they are. We have not, unless it's in this letter, I've not seen a list of those managed municipalities. Yes, they are in this document. But the point is that we are now sanctioning bad governance by giving bad governance an extension. I think Mr. Dutoy had a point, and for the government to say that the bill does not allow them to dictate, we are just looking at the new bill. You could have produced a bill that says we now are allowed to dictate to municipalities what they should do. So that's not a very good argument. However, as it may be, we are now faced with a fait accompli, and we have no choice but to adopt the bill. What I would like to know from the government if there is some sort of redress to those councils that have not introduced. That have not introduced the valuation rules in time, and in any case, those who have done so, in many of the cases, it's of such a nature that it's actually close to unworkable. Shacks have been valued at 1.5 million rand in some cases, and I'd like to know what the way forward is. I propose that we adopt the bill and carry on, but I think somewhere along the line, the department must come up with answers to the question of why this bad governance was allowed, why was there not oversight on the whole question of valuation rolls timelessly, so that we don't have to sit here with egg on our faces as legislators having to give an extension to a law that is in existence for 5 years.
Thank you. Another question. Honorable Louis.
Yeah, Chair. I think Chair and my partner is I think the the department is highlighting the some of the difficulties that these municipalities faced in trying to deal with this is that I'm not sure, Chair, whether it's just a question of just inefficiency as such, because that also hasn't been tested or assessed properly, Chair, whether that's that, or it's the complication of the ascertaining that the ownership of certain properties and that kind of thing. I think it's a complication of a whole host of things that perhaps has affected the municipalities. And I see it is a small number. Though I'm also concerned, Chair, that the department is not saying they're now having a full report on the status of this work that is legislated by this property rights act. But we hear as well that they are indicating that they will be coming back to us later in the year, next year sometime, for us then to do full house work on the bill. So I think that this is it shouldn't take us long to really complete and deal with this matter, and hopefully the department has ascertained with these municipalities that this is indeed assisting to them. Perhaps, Chair, we might want to hear from SAGA if they've been dealing with this situation as well, and what is their view as a partner in this area. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you very much, Honorable Matilda.
Yes, Chair. I think, whilst agreeing with my colleague, it will be important that the department give us an assurance that, you know, they won't come back again and extend this, you know. But we must also understand the capacity of these municipalities that are talking about. You know, there's a lot of history behind them. You know that they don't have the capacity. You know? No, I'm not saying the majority. If you look at the majority, you know? But also there's a history behind Polokwane, because that capacity has been taken out. You know that you take out the capacity and make sure that you want to collapse those municipalities, and that might be the challenges that those municipalities are faced with. But whilst understanding that, we don't think it is correct, you know, because, Chair, this is the second bill that the department is coming up with. We're just dealing with the traditional affairs bill, you know, where the department is saying, no, we're just bringing this because we want to extend. We're coming in with a substantive, you know, to amend the bill. Now, they're saying the same thing. We hope this is the last one. They won't be coming with another bill to say we just want an extension, but next year we're coming with it. But we'd rather wait, you know, and come with those, Thanks, Chair.
Thank you very much. Is there anyone to ask for clarity before I allow the department? Okay. Fine. Can the department then...
Thank you, Chair. The Honourable Mr. Watson is asking whether we are indeed sanctioning bad government. We have thought about this extensively. We didn't make this decision lightheartedly. Our feeling is that, yes, there have been bad practices that have happened in these municipalities that have resulted in this situation. Some of these practices are of a political nature, if I may say so. Some of them are administrative in the sense that a number of these municipalities did not put the systems in place or did not undertake the activities that they needed to undertake in order to ensure that they were ready to appoint, especially most of them, by the way, just by a bit of background, do not have valuation capacity in-house. They do not have the warm bodies to undertake mass valuation, so they had to go out and tender for valuers. They had been guided by the department and by our provincial counterparts on when to undertake these processes, when to go out on tender, when it is best to do so, and so forth. A number of these municipalities did not do so on time, which resulted in, for example, valuers being appointed late,
which resulted in these valuers not being able to complete the task, meaning they were not able to compile a valuation roll for the whole municipal area, which is what the Act demands, that a valuation roll must be compiled for urban and the rural areas in the municipality. Every single area must, every single property must be valued. Hence, they were not able to finish and have a valuation roll in time for implementation. These are some of the challenges. We've been going on a long road with a lot of these municipalities over the last 3 to 4 years where we have been guiding them. Some of them had even attempted to implement in previous years. This is just the final year of implementation. Others had tried to implement in 2008, others in 2007. Some of them had been advised not to go ahead because of certain inadequacies that were inherent in their processes. However, we did find ourselves at this juncture, and we had to take a decision because our feeling was that communities at the end of the day in these municipalities would be the ones to suffer. They would be the ones to suffer because of inherent problems within municipalities. That is what really pushed us to do this, despite the bad practices that are taking place in these municipalities. In terms of the valuation challenges, we're aware of them, and we are working with practitioners, valuation practitioners, in order to try and deal with these valuation challenges. It's a long process. It's going to take a long time. It's a new system that we're bringing on board. The valuation skills pool is very limited. I think, as we all know, there are very few valuers to go around, and the few valuers are quite stretched. You'd find a number of them working in various municipalities, and it's difficult for them to concentrate on producing quality roles for specific municipalities. But we're aware of the challenges, and we're working with practitioners to try and try and solve those problems. However, that's a long-term issue. We cannot solve them overnight. In terms of whether we'll be coming back, the colleague just said we will be coming back to Parliament in terms of a further amendment to the Act. These are comprehensive amendments, which, by the way, will not include a request to extend this period again. We're not going to be doing that. Our position is that we don't want to find ourselves in a position where we have to do this again. This is a last resort, and we will be putting in an effort to support these municipalities so that they are ready by the end of 30th of June 2011 in order to actually implement valuation rolls. We will be coming back with comprehensive amendments. Most of these amendments are really based on the experiences that we've had over the last 4 to 5 years around implementing this Act. This Act was designed in a certain way, and once it was implemented, we could see whether theory really works in practice. And some of the amendments that we'll be bringing forth next year that the Minister and the colleague have spoken about are really amendments that have to do with dealing with challenges of implementation, to try and sort out the Act so that it's easier to implement for municipalities, so that it's more seamless to implement. Most of these issues are around that. So they're not going to be around similar issues such as the one that we're asking for now. I hope I've answered all the questions. I don't know if my colleague wants to add.
Well, to add a few, broadly on the issue which has been raised about how do we grapple with the issue of governance in terms of councils across the board, the attempt to that is quite a broad one, and I think as honorable members you have been aware of some of the initiatives which the ministry and the department have been engaging on, even as far as the last week. We have started as a department, for example, to do what we call assessments of municipalities across the country, but part of the rationale behind that is because we are aware that to deal with all these issues, whether you talk about non-compliance with some of the financial management practices, which the Auditor General raises in terms of municipalities, and some other things, you need a multifaceted approach to to deal with all these issues, and that is how some of those processes we have been embarking upon, which some of them culminated in the local government in our summit which we had last week, and some of the turnaround strategies are meant to deal with all these issues broadly, because like we pointed out, some of the things are technical, some of them are political, and sometimes there is an interface between some of the things, so that in order to deal with the things, you need a holistic approach to deal with them. And actually, you cannot put all these municipalities which have failed to implement the Act in one broad category, like one honorable member raised, for example. We talked about, if you look at the financial implications, we talk roughly about 410 million. But it is interesting to note that close to about 80% of that, it accrues to two local municipalities. So that is Polokwane and Machabeng. One of them about 163, the other one about 172. And those are secondary cities to some extent. And for example, if you look at it in the context of those two municipalities and some of the rural-based municipalities within those particular localities which are small, have been able to implement. So it tells you that rather looking at the things in terms of the Act, it might be that you are sitting with bigger things which you need to deal with, because it's what it tells you. So hence you need that broad strategy to deal with some of these issues. Like the colleague said, for example, one of the issues which we need to deal with as government with some other partners is not only to look at, for example, is to look at issues, for example, around supply chain management related issues. Because, for example, if you look at some of these municipalities, and it's the same for Machabeng in particular in Polokwane, you sit with a council which has delayed. And the issues of supply chain management, that is tenders, we know that is a prerogative of municipalities. So that is the decision of the council of the municipality. It's not a provincial or national thing. But you find you are sitting with a process where there has been that procrastination or postponement of some of these processes, and when people start doing the things, it starts being dealt at a later stage. And but if you look at those things, it might be that there is a background to some of these issues which you need to deal with. So hence, we think as a department, you need a holistic approach to deal with all these issues which might also come to assist us in moving forward. Some of the issues which have been raised around the issues about the valuation challenges, including probably some of the municipalities which have been implemented, which are not part of the ambit of this agent amendment. We do have what we call a mechanism to deal with valuation-related issues, but we take the note as well. You've got valuation appeal board where people can raise objections if they are not happy, and for some of those things to be dealt. But we take what you are raising, but there are some of those things in the Act. So for those municipalities which have implemented, if there are some of those concerns for proper systems to be dealt with, to deal with those particular issues. And also when we talked about to ensure that we do not come here time and again, like the colleague said, when we talk about next year, about the review of the Act, some of the things which we will be attempting to strengthen is the number of things which deals with some maybe policy challenges, but some of them, it might be also to ensure that in terms of monitoring for both provinces and national government, there is something which is much more stronger. But also some of the things, it will be also to strengthen our role in terms of regulating and all those aspects, taking into account that the Constitution allows some flexibility or autonomy in terms of these three spheres of government, where you don't have national government micromanaging the other two spheres of government, but taking all the balance into place. So those are some of the things which we take note of. So, but I think in the main, I don't know if my colleague Mr. Fanny Lowe has got anything else to add or is covered.
Thank you very much. Can I get the intelligence from the honorable that are you satisfied with anything? So we support the extension. Okay, thank you very much. But just to emphasize the point, especially if you come next year with comprehensive amendments, you need to clarify the target, whether indeed it's the target is medium to high capacity municipality, or it's general, all municipalities, because you have 13 municipalities minus 283. What does that mean? It needs to be clarified, because municipalities are municipalities. And there are a lot of conflicts in some rural areas as a result of the bill, where there is a conflict between the traditional leaders of municipalities in terms of this attempt in some municipality where they would want to evaluate a fenced house or a shed, whether the bill does generally target that. I think yes, will come or whatever you are doing. These are some of the recommendations from the committee. From these committees, I think so. The other issue we need to, I'm sure, is to look into the legislation vis-à-vis ordinance. Which one supersedes what? Because you are talking of, when I looked into the research, the Transvaal ordinance, the Free State ordinance, something like that, which are used. So let's have this takes research. Can I finish, Honorable? You'll get. So these are some of the issues as you deal with the, as you come back. I think these are some of the issues that we need to comprehensively engage in terms of that one. Maybe this one you need to answer now. The department is moving around in terms of plans for turning the municipality around, in particular issues of revenue base, because municipalities are paralyzed, I mean, not all of them, in terms of revenue base. The bill also seems to enhance the revenue base of municipalities. How does it affect the department's program of turning around the situation? Is it not part of the issue that must be emphasized? I think this one maybe we need to have an immediate answer. The other thing that I'm worried, who does evaluation involve? Is there any attempt by the department to look into that? Precisely because it needs a skill and where they are resting. Who constitutes this? Is there a board, a committee, or whatever? I haven't seen, you know, in terms of transformation, the those poor people being part of evaluator. What are the plans? I think this was just in brief, you can just assist in answering that for me to understand as to whether this evaluation system indeed is also under transformation or is anything as it was.
Not sure. I think the one point that we did not look at is presently because we're going to municipal elections, there are redemarcations taking place. Does this process extension take into consideration that specific area? Because you see, the problem might be specific areas might fall into a different municipality. Now, in terms of your preparations and planning, because you might have valuations differing from one municipality in terms of the different standards that are there in the different municipalities. Is that taken into consideration? No, that's the point I'm trying to check. Because you might extend it by 2 years. In 2011, we have local government elections. Is that area taken into consideration, Chair?
Thank you very much. I might have provoked some idea. I will allow anyone who is provoked to raise an issue. What's that?
The demarcation process is for wards, not for municipalities. I can't see the demarcation process changing municipal boundaries. That's my understanding. I don't know.
Chair, no, let's clarify. No, Kenya is going into Tswane. No? I'm saying the Queen's Diamond is going to Swat. That changes municipalities. We're not showing other provinces. It's not going to change municipalities.
Somebody else who wants just last.
None. Then the department needs to respond, but indeed the department must change the approach. You know, coming with the bills with specific targets, we need them to finish with this bill. You are coming next year, we welcome that, but at least we need to be comprehensive, like what the other honorables have said. Louis?
She referred to one clause, but here in the presentation I could read, Chair, you know, talks about four clauses. For instance, evaluation, approval, boards, and that kind of thing. Isn't it that this is now almost the last briefing that we're having with her? So they need to, I think they need to only talk on just the extension part. But I think there's also something that talks to, I'm saying that, Chair, because we might be called to decide whether or to agree whether it's a 75 or a 76. I think there is a clause where it talks about the powers or the MECs to have a responsibility to deal with the appointment, the terms of and conditions of appointment of the boards and that kind of thing. So I'm saying, let's not come out here as if we're dealing with the one clause specifically to extend this thing. I think there's three further work that relates to that extension as well, so that we've got the full complement when we are called to agree or to not to agree on this thing of whether it's a 75 or a 76. We clear, Chair. I'm not sure whether I'm reading the wrong document, because I'm reading Braille, Chair, you see. So I read what I was given. Thanks.
Thank you, the department.
Okay, I will start. The colleagues will come in. Probably to start with what the last honorable member was raising, they may have been some confusion in terms of the document which was given. The bill which was published, indeed, for public comment, it had two critical aspects. One was the extension of the period of validity of the evaluation role, which is retained in this copy which honorable members have before them, which is what the Office of the Chief State Law Advisor has certified legally, which went through the National Assembly process, which is the same version which you have. The second aspect which he raises, that bill, which was published for public comment, it also attempted to deal with the issue of what we call conditions of appointment of members of Valuation Appeal Board, in which the act as it stands at the moment, it says that the conditions of appointment of members of Evaluating Appeal Board and its committees can only be done centrally by the national minister, although the appointment itself is done by MEC, responsible for local government. So in that version of the bill, we were proposing to allow the MEC to determine the conditions of appointment. However, cabinet itself did not sanction that version of the bill, and as such, that version of the bill was not part of the bill which was introduced through the parliamentary process. It's something which was part of the processes within the executive itself, and it never came here to parliament. So he's quite right, he might have got that earlier version, which is not the official version which is running, which got sanctioned by cabinet, and which is the one which has been running through parliament. The version which we have, it only deals with the issue of extension, but if honorable members will be interested, we can ask our legal person to quickly take you through those sources for your comfort. But whatever we call those sources, all of them, they deal with the issue of extension of the period of validity of the Evaluation Appeal Board. Now, the certain other issue which has been raised is the issue of the legislation vis-a-vis the ordinances which supersede what. In terms of the Act, once the Act commences operating, if a municipality moves and starts rating in terms of the Act from that day, then it can no longer use the provincial ordinances. So the provincial ordinances have been applicable in transition, which is what will happen in terms of the state municipalities we are talking about. That in the interim, until they are able to graduate to the regime of the Act, then they will be able to use those provincial ordinances. But for example, the rest of the municipalities which have implemented the Act, none of them can rely on the provincial ordinances. So those don't apply to them. It's only one Act, which is the Act, the Local Government Municipal Property Rights Act of 2004. So the provincial ordinances, it doesn't, it was just a transition. That if you come with a new system, you need a period of transition for people to move. Now, the other things which was raised is the issues of, it is true that if you look at the Municipal Property Rights Act, part of it is also to contribute to the revenue base of municipalities. So it's one of those pillars which municipalities, in terms of them to be financially viable, use. But this, it needs to be looked in tandem with the other revenue raising instruments, including your user service charges or tariffs, and some other mechanisms or revenue sources which may be devolved to local government in time. So it's part of it, but linked to those, in order for municipalities to be viable, hence we talked about a broad strategy, it also, you also need to deal with the issues of the citizens themselves. If you make an assumption that municipalities are doing things correctly, then there is a responsibility on the part of citizens to honor their financial responsibilities to municipalities. That is the culture of payment and all those related things. So it's a broad arena to get municipalities to be financially viable. Truly, in terms of that which municipalities ought to do, they need to be assisted to do the things properly, including proper billing systems and all those things. But there is also this other part about the constituents of municipalities, which also needs to be taken into account. In terms of the issue around the valuation, in terms of the Act is clear that when we talk about valuations, who can perform them? It can be what is called the professional valuers or professional associated valuers in terms of the related legislation, which is administered by the Public Works. What it is cited in the legislation itself, at the top of my head, I don't have the proper citations. And those are the people, if you want to say who is accountable, they may have other people who are assisting them, in as much as the chief financial officer of the municipality, who is responsible for the financial health of the municipalities. It's got numerous people, but where does the bat fall? And those are the people, whether these people are appointed from outside the municipalities or these are the people who are employed permanently as part of the established of the municipalities, who need to deal with valuation-related issues. But however, the Act recognized that you cannot be reliant on individuals or people, no matter whether they are capable, whether they got the skills, and hence you got this other region for people to lodge objections, which goes through your valuation appeal board, for those processes to be, if there are dissatisfaction, to be dealt with. In terms of the transformation of that profession, like any of the skills which are critical in the country, whether it's engineering, you still have those ongoing challenges, which is what government has to continue grappling with. So that profession itself, it still needs to undergo transformations, and there have been some other things which we have tried to deal with in order to augment that together with LGCETA. We have, for example, tried to come up with what we call internships in order to deal with the transformation issues as well as awarding bursaries, but there have been challenges in some of those particular interventions, which are those interventions which probably working together with the new Ministry for Higher Education, Public Works, and all stakeholders. So those are some of the things which we need to get there in order to ensure that that provision also reflects the demographics and the gender aspect of the country which all of us were aspiring. But we are aware that that is going to take us some little time to get there, but those are the things which we are grappling with. Now, the other thing which has been raised is the issues of demarcations, which we will think about it. If you've got a municipality, part of the jurisdiction of municipality moving to another municipality, and you find that the date of valuations of these two municipalities are different. For example, one might have implemented the Act on 1st July 2007, which tells you the market values of those properties when, as of a particular date, then you've got a segment coming out of another neighboring municipality where, for example, it may have been 1st July 2009 as to how best to deal with some of those challenges. So we take note of that, which is what we'll also grapple with. So we appreciate the question. But in terms of the transition, how we dealt with that particular practice, in terms of those issues, we allowed municipalities to be in a position to levy different cent amount in the rent, taking into account the valuation roles of those municipalities, how old they were. But those are the things which I think we'll have to think about, because that might be an ongoing challenge which we'll have, because like you are saying, these demarcations kept on done, and we are aware that they are done by an independent authority, the Municipal Demarcations Board, which does this. So we appreciate that caution. So those are the things which we will, amongst the other things which when we review the Act and all the things to deal with them. But I'm not so sure if colleagues, there are some other things they need to add. Thanks.
Thank you. You have responded, but there was a question referring to Sarga, which was not. You are not Sarga, is it? Are you Sarga?
No.
Then keep quiet. Sarga?
Thank you. I don't know what to say. I think I don't have the mandate to engage on this matter, but I'll actually inform my principal about these issues. Thanks.
If you don't have mandate, tell your principal not to send you here. Parliament. We don't pray yet. If you don't have mandate, just don't come to Valencia. We want to build the nation. Tell your principal that we are not happy and we are not approving that. We are not total. It's to undermine Parliament. What do you want here? No, can't accept that type of thing. In fact, if you knew, would have said go away from the beginning.
You must tell what the man is. Why was he sent there? You must tell us what he knew.
I think you are listening. You don't have a mandate, and therefore we don't approve your presence. You go back and say you've been dismissed out of the meeting.
Chair, I think this is the second time we're engaging the particular individual. No? But he made it very clear last time that he's just a researcher of SAUDA. And the reason that he's sitting here is compiling for SAUDA to deal with issues. It is true, Chair, that you must tell him that his principles must be here. If he does research work, he must just sit and do his research work and deal with those things. Because he told us the last time in one of the meetings.
We are not engaged in an academic exercise. We are not. We are dealing with political and legislative issues. And here the department is responding, and Sarga is presenting my fault in terms of property rights issue. It's an engaging issue. It's important that the committee really disapproves of the method that Sarga engaged with SOP. We don't want that. But then this calls upon the adjournment of this meeting with all the views that have been raised by the honorable members until we meet again. And,
what do worried about the process. At this stage, when we're all in agreement, there should be a statement of desirability favored by your staff for us to approve and for you to sign, so that we can go to debate on it.
We have supported the extension, and then that process must then... When is it supposed to be done?
I was indicating to the chair that the objective of today's meeting was to accord the department to the committee on the objective of the bill. From our side, what we'll do, we'll revise our committee program to formally adopt the bill where the motion of desirability will be tabled.
Thank you very much. And the committee, honorable, will remain for the other process. Thank you very much. Thank you, the department. But I'm not sure whether you are part of the Friday, whether you'll be able to answer certain questions. Oh, Mr. Luz. What? All right. Thank you, colleagues. Friday we had negotiating exercise, and one issue that came out was the question of commission and the costing. And we said we'll sort of exploit this meeting to further engage on the matter. And I would want to open for the matter here. Maybe we'd want to hear the provinces and later the department, in terms of the matter of on commission and the other process. If I'm right,
no, sir. The commission matter was closed, so it could be. I think there was. It's only one matter that's outstanding. The cost. The commission matter was renegotiated, if you remember, in that meeting, and. Because the matters there were really about whether the clause, the issues of term limitation on the establishment of the term of the commission or the, but provinces did then finally pronounce, which then the agreement was then that the C list or the C bill was supposed to be released. So what we think we need to touch base with is whether the C list was then sent to provinces to enable them to take final mandate for next week. I think that's one matter. Then the cost issues, then, Chair. I think it's the one that is outstanding, Chair, in that. But I'm not sure then if they were to affect anything in the processes of the bill as such. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you, Matilda and Watson.
No, Chair, I think as how then we propose that we support the bill in terms of what my colleague from KwaZulu-Natal indicated. And from that process, almost all provinces, the only province that was outstanding was Mpumalanga. All provinces present, including the Free State, who raised the issue, came back, because the delegate from the Free State is here. He will indicate, and we think everything has been closed. We're moving forward. We're collecting final mandates from our own provinces, and that is where we stand, Chair.
Chair, I think we're missing something here. Mpumalanga was very much present. I was there, and the chairperson of the portfolio committee from the province was also present. It is not right that was in province. We were very much present. In fact, I was sitting right next to you until you moved to behind me. Chair, you remember when the department briefed us on all the clauses and their comments. Every time there was a comment referring to the commission, that the chief director actually skipped it and said, we will therefore not engage on the commissions at all and give you feedback on the commission. So they reserved all the issues where, when we went through that list, where the said commission, he said, I'll skip that one, because we'll give you feedback. And we agreed at that meeting that today we'll utilize
for that feedback, because next Tuesday is final mandate. That's the way I have it. Maybe somebody else can help me if I'm wrong.
Madina? No, Chair, when we came to the end of our all other processes dealing with the commission, you know, we stood up as hoping to say, we don't have a problem with the issue around the commissions themselves. And if Mr. Watson did not hear it correctly, we can go back to Hansard for Hansard to so that he understands what has been said in that specific meeting. And that is our understanding, Chair. From that point, we were supported by all other provinces, including the people that raised the issue around commissions, you know, who supported us, you know. And that was the area, that was the situation. I know at some point the chairperson of the portfolio committee from Mpumalanga came in and supported the process too. But that is our understanding in terms of the process. Because the issue around costs, to our understanding, was an issue that was to be given to us, but it does not affect the process. That is our understanding. Because we have agreed in terms of that particular process. Just.
Okay, thank you very much.
Come on.
Yeah, Chairperson, no. I'm here and I was here. And I'm still here. And wide awake. Look, right at the beginning, if I've got to try and recap as to what happened. Right at the beginning, when we started with the processes, there were two very opposing views. It wasn't only Mpumalanga that was opposed to the commission. There were distinctly two views which went on, but as we progressed with the meeting, there were some points of coming together. So we reached some conversion at a point when we were about to close the meeting. And what then remained was that we needed to go back. Honorable Watson was actually sitting next to me when this matter was debated. I think he's just missed it one way or other, because you went province by province, one by one, right? And if I recall, you did not ask us directly, you know, but finally you said, do we all agree? And that's what happened. But I can recall Honorable Watson, he did not ask us directly, but yes, Northern Cape, even though they had already left, he did ask them without being there, you know. And then the only problem that he did not speak to the Honorable Chairperson directly was ourselves. But finally, he did say that we all agree, and I think there was a unanimous agreement on the matter. But what was left then was for us to go and get the mandate.
Is that the spirit of the meeting? Thank you. And then
I think that we should not confuse the issue of the commission with what is happening back at home. And I think this is what Honorable Watson is concerned about, because back at home in Mpumalanga, the two kings of the Ndebele, there are serious problems. But insofar as what we discussed broadly on principles of the commission, I don't think that Honorable Watson has a problem. But there's a specific problem which we need to deal with, and I don't know how we're going to deal with it. You would also recall, Chairperson, the Prof tried to deal with it, and he got his facts completely wrong. And at a later stage outside, he came to me and he apologized. And he said they will have to rethink about that and see how they handle it, because these facts are completely wrong. And his other chief director then said, that is why I said we will be able to deal with that at a later stage, you know, outside this meeting, because he knows the facts. His chief director knew the facts exactly as I outlined in the meeting. But insofar as the principle and the substance of the commission, I think that matter, well, If we gave in Honorable Watson, it's unfortunate.
No, it's
my fault and your fault.
I think the matter of the things we've heard, it will be between the province and the department, that it must be engaged at that level. I still remember on that one, because it was not related exactly to what we're talking.
And therefore the question of costing, what did we say? The costing.
It was a general concern, that is the first point. Secondly, we wanted to understand the implications, because if you remember there's a point that we withdrew all of us from that specific point around all members of the commission, of the committee, becoming full time. There was that, remember there was a long debate, and that's how costing came into play, you know. But we all went, well, then we then gave in and said, no, let's leave it as it is in terms of the proposal from the department. Yes.
No, thank you very much. Because I don't want all the said other issues related to this image, so that we need to conclude on the matter yet. Is there anything, Honorable Scott?
No. Honorable Chairperson, no, the full-timeness is not about the commission, it was about the House. Members of the House. We mustn't confuse that. Yeah.
It's right. So do you want to clarify or we close the matter as expressed? And let me take the opportunity. Can I thank everyone and thank the department really for coming and brief us, hoping that would in the future really engage robust. This is not a simple matter on property rates. We need to robustly engage on that one and conclude on the matter. And further to thank members of the committee, to thank the staff, the state law advisor to be present, and they would want to thank you. The meeting stand again.
Thank you. Thanks. No.